baby face. Always. I'm all about the sacrifice. He mumbled. You're going to miss the fireworks, Skylar said. Fireworks? I asked before taking a bite of my sandwich.
Yeah, some festival or other. Maybe you'll catch them from the boat,
Neil added. It was dumb, but I really did like a good fireworks display, especially from the water. I hope so. That would be cool.
That's if you're not running around after the Wolfman,
Eric said. The Wolfman? We didn't call the guests nicknames because there was too big a chance for them to overhear, not until the charter was over, anyway, and Hayden had been nothing but courteous to all the crew as far as I was aware. Eric just shrugged. Like you said, he'll go down to his office and I won't see him all evening. I doubt I'll be running anywhere.
Then why don't you come ashore with us?
I tilted my head, encouraging Eric to drop it. My mind was set. There was no point having this discussion. I think they'll have them over the water, so you're bound to see them, Skylar said. For a second, I thought about taking some photos to send to my dad and Michael, but then I remembered we didn't have our phones. My dad loved to see beautiful pictures from different parts of the world. I think it reassured him that I was having fun. I think so, too. So you see, I'll hardly be missing out at all, but it's very sweet of you guys to be concerned.
Concerned about what?
August asked, appearing in the doorway. I groaned. I wasn't about to go through it all for the 90th time. You look pretty, I told her, trying to throw her off the scent. Come on, I said, standing. I'll see you guys off.
You're not coming?
August asked, and voices began to murmur. I ushered everyone out of the kitchen and down to the tender. Seriously, it's a full day of work tomorrow, so not too much alcohol. I'm not picking up your slack. I eyed August in particular. We trailed down the stairs and everyone piled onto the tender. I untied the bow line and threw the rope to Eric, then waved them off. It was good to see everyone in such high spirits. Giving them the night off was a nice thing for Hayden to have done. I glanced up to the main deck, still smiling at all their excitement, and locked eyes with Hayden. He looked far from happy. His face was like thunder, and fury burned in his eyes. Was it his work that had caused that, or was he mad I hadn't gone with them? My stomach churned, and my skin prickled with heat. I hated the thought that he might be angry with me.
Chapter 16. Hayden. I wasn't used to my instructions being ignored. I'd had money and power for long enough that people rarely said no to me. I'd been clear when I'd spoken to Moss that the crew should have the night off. I accepted he'd have to stay on board, but I told him I wouldn't need anything from anyone. I threw my pen across my desk. My concentration was shot. I didn't know if it was the lack of sleep, or the overnight working, or just the irritation of being ignored by Avery. But tonight, I couldn't focus. It was Saturday night, and I'd just dismissed the lawyers. At least they'd have the afternoon and evening with their families. I knew I was working too hard, and I knew I was working my team too hard. I just wanted this deal done as soon as possible. I leaned back in my chair and glanced out the window. Just blackness with slivers of silver when the water caught the lights of the boat. It was almost 9 and I was hungry. And I could do with a whiskey. If I couldn't work, then perhaps a drink would send me to sleep. As I entered the formal dining room, Avery appeared from the galley, a professional smile fixed to her face.
Can I get you anything?
I narrowed my eyes. Why didn't you go with them? She blinked several times, as if riffling through possible answers.
I just didn't...
Did the captain say you had to stay? She placed her hand up to her throat.
No, not at all. I just wasn't feeling too well.
I stepped toward her. Then you should rest. She exhaled and her shoulders dropped.
That's not true.
I crooked my head. She'd lied. And if so, why had she immediately confessed? What about? That the captain didn't stop you from going ashore, or that you're not feeling well?
I feel perfectly fine.
I like the truth, Avery.
I'm sorry.
Her shoulders drooped a little, as if her professional veneer was slipping.
The guys gave me a really hard time about staying, and I just don't want to go through it again. Can we drop this? And can I get you something?
The whole point of me giving the crew the night off was so you didn't have to fetch and carry for me. I stepped closer, and she had to tip her head back to still look at me. Her delicious throat, temptingly exposed, trailed down to her full breasts. And I'm not dropping anything. Tell me why you didn't go ashore.
I don't know. I just...
Her cheeks bloomed pink, and I realized. She was embarrassed because she'd wanted to stay. I just wasn't sure if it was the pull of me or her job that kept her on board tonight. I'm hungry, I said, half whisper, half growl. Hungry to taste her. Her eyes widened and her eyelids fluttered in confusion before she gasped.
I'll get you something.
She spun around, headed back to the interior. I'd been a tenth of a second away from pulling her into my arms and exploring that polite mouth of hers. Had she not scurried away, I wouldn't have been able to hold myself back. Maybe that's why she'd disappeared inside. Something was holding her back. I followed her into the galley, watching her skate around the kitchen as I leaned on the door jamb. She worked quickly, uncovering dishes of various meats, cheeses, pickles, bread, fruit, and then carefully rearranging any that weren't exactly perfect. Picking up two dishes, she smiled and nodded toward the door. "Can I take those?" I reached for the dishes, but she stepped back.
"Please, let me. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. You're happy to eat outside."
I nodded and waited for her to leave. She hesitated, presumably expecting me to go with her, but I didn't. As soon as she was out of sight, I picked up two more platters and made my way upstairs. When she saw me, her expression was unguarded. I wasn't sure if it was anger or hurt I could see in her eyes. "I'm just trying to help. It's senseless for you to make an additional trip while I follow you with nothing." I wanted to tell her how she was good at more than carrying plates, how I imagined she could be good at anything she wanted to be. She pressed her lips together before taking the plates from me and placing them on the table.
"Can I kindly ask you to take a seat?"
I pushed down my smile. It was more than a little satisfying to see her so frustrated with me, but trying to hide it. "I will take a seat if, when you've collected whatever other accoutrement you need, you'll join me." She paused before straightening the platter.
"I want you to enjoy your meal in peace."
"And I've asked you to join me. Now, please do as I say, and bring a plate for yourself." I pulled out the seat on the side of the table facing the water and made myself comfortable. She opened her mouth to argue, and I simply raised my eyebrows, and she flitted back inside without a word. For whatever reason, she was uncomfortable joining me, but for me, the thought of her company overrode my need to be fair. She returned with my place setting. I enjoyed her needing to be so close, the two of us just centimeters apart, so she could slide the placemat in front of me, then set the cutlery down. Without saying a word, she folded the white linen napkin in a triangle and placed it in my lap.
"Can I create a plate for you?"
she asked, taking a half step back. My hand was just inches from the back of her thigh, temptingly close. I nodded, and she set about placing a selection of food onto my plate and then poured my glass of wine. She clasped her hands in front of her after she'd set the bottle down in the ice bucket.
"Anything else?"
"Sit," I said, taking a forkful of jambon and slipping it into my mouth. I nodded at the empty chair at the end of the table, next to me. I never took the head of the table. Not in boardrooms, not around a dining room table. I always thought it betrayed a lack of self-confidence for anyone to have to proclaim themselves as the leader, the most important, the most dominant, by sitting at the end of the table. I preferred to prove it through my words, actions, and presence. She transferred her weight from one foot to the next, trying to decide if she was going to do what she was told, and I didn't rush her. Tentatively, she pulled out the chair I'd indicated and took a seat, sitting forward uncomfortably. "Have you eaten?" I asked.
"I have, actually."
Of course she had. "What did you eat?" Her eyes narrowed, and I couldn't figure out whether she didn't want to tell me because I had no right to ask, or if she was simply avoiding sharing anything, not wanting to take the next step because we both knew there was a next step.
"A cheese sandwich."
I picked up my bread roll. "Like this?" I was basically having a ham and cheese sandwich, which worked for me.
"Grated cheddar."
I nodded, taking another mouthful, wanting her to say more.
"Bread and cheese is..."
She looked dreamily out over the ocean and sighed. I chuckled. "Well, there's plenty here. And you have a plate." I lifted my chin at the extra place setting she'd set in front of her as I'd asked. "Join me." Her mouth twisted as she fought the need to remain professional, with her desire to do exactly what a guest wanted her to do. She didn't take any food, for now, and I didn't push. Our exchange on the deck below had sent her running, and I wanted her right next to me. I didn't want to frighten her off. "What else?" I asked.
"What else?"
She questioned me back. She knew I was asking for more than just a rundown of her dietary habits. I wanted more of her. "What else do you like to do in your free time when you're not eating bread and cheese?" She shrugged.
"During the season, there's not much free time. So dinner and dancing with the crew is about as far as it gets."
She sat back in her chair. "And between seasons, when everyone else goes exploring, what is it you do?" Did she have a boyfriend? Maybe even a husband waiting for her? A smile curled at the edges of her mouth.
"The first night, sometimes I like to check myself into a really nice hotel. I know it's extravagant, but it's my treat to myself. One night when my bed's made, my dinner is served to me, and my drink is made by someone else."
She ran her fingers down the wood grain beside her fork. "I can imagine that's nice after running around after guests all season."
"It is, but it's more than that, too. It's about being me again. Avery Walker."
"And you're not Avery on the boat?" She pulled her lip into her mouth as she thought about her answer. I enjoyed these pauses she took, the thought she put into what she said. I appreciated the effort she made to think about what I'd asked her. She glanced at me and sat back in her chair, adjusting to this arrangement between us.
"Yacht crew are invisible but available on charter. We blend into the background. Generally, guests aren't rude, but they are guests, right? I mean, this is my job. I'm not here to have fun. As a crew member, we're here to ensure the guests enjoy their vacation. So we're part of the package, just like the fresh sheets, the good food, and the strong cocktails."
"But you're not a thing," I said, uncomfortable at the idea she thought she was an object and that I may share that view. She squinted.
"Not exactly, no. But if we're doing our job well, we're invisible when we need to be, and helpful when it's required."
I regarded her while I continued to chew, wanting to hear her talk more, to know more about the Avery behind the professional gloss.
"And that night at the hotel, it's like I come back into focus. I become Avery Walker again."
"And then?"
"Then I go back to Sacramento."
"California." For some reason, it was hard to picture her anywhere but on this yacht. "And you're invisible again at home?" Why did she need that night alone? Who did she belong to that she wasn't vibrant and authentic when she was sleeping in her own bed?
"No,"
she snapped, a little too quickly.
"I didn't mean that."
She reached out to take a pickle from one of the serving plates. I grinned. She was relaxing.
"I like being home. It's less..."
She peered at her lap and then shrugged. "You live alone?" She shook her head and my pulse began to throb in my neck.
"Nope, with my dad. And brother. I'm only there a couple of months of the year, so it doesn't make sense to have a place of my own."
The way her words tumbled out, she sounded well rehearsed. I wasn't sure if she'd said it out loud a lot or just in her own mind. I like spending as much time as possible with them when I'm back, so it works. My pulse faded back into the distance in response to her answer. No husband and no mention of a boyfriend. People observing from the shore wouldn't see how much Avery and I had in common professionally. She worked hard, took pride in what she did, and went above and beyond what any reasonable person would expect. She didn't deserve to be invisible. I couldn't imagine not noticing her. I wanted more of the woman I'd watched the sunrise with. Her loose hair and warm wonder. She pulled me in despite doing her best to be invisible but available to me. I wanted to fill in the gaps, get to know the real woman, not the shadow who was always around in case I needed something. How old's your brother?
1 year younger than me.
I'd put her at 25, though I bet she'd look the same for the next decade. She had a timeless beauty about her, the small waist, the high cheekbones, and perfect ass.
He's 25.
I had you down for 25. She grinned.
You were close.
I'm 32, I said. I wanted this to be a conversation between us, but I guessed she wasn't going to feel comfortable asking me questions.
I know,
she said, popping another pickle in her mouth.
I Googled you when I went on shore that first time.
You did, huh? What did Google tell you? She poured herself a glass of water from the bottle of San Pellegrino on the table that I'd not touched.
Not a hell of a lot, unfortunately.
She leaned back in her chair, for the first time acting as if she might stay more than a few short seconds, and smiled. It was Avery Walker's smile, rather than the grin of the stewardess on the Athena. I'm quite careful about what's out there about me, I said.
Shocker.
Her eyes widened teasingly.
I just like to personalize the guest's experience, you know? I thought I might find something useful.
I filled out my preferences sheet, because you asked me to. I probably would have ignored anyone else. But she'd caught my attention, shown me that I was being a pain in the ass by not doing that, and I respected that. I didn't expect servitude from the people around me, but the more successful I got, the bigger the gap between me and those in my orbit.
I shouldn't have. I don't know what got into me. I should have just accepted there was no sheet.
I liked that you did. Our eyes locked, and she didn't reply. Eventually, she looked away and over the dark waves that were lapping at the boat.
The crew was grateful. As you would say in England, it caused great consternation not having the information.
I'm not sure anyone says that in England outside a Jane Austen novel. She laughed.
I suppose not.
I'm just not that fussy about things like that. She scrunched up her nose in the most adorable way, and I couldn't help but smile at her expression.
I think if I were rich, I'd want the things I like. Otherwise, what's the point?
I agree, but I just don't care about the water I drink or the sheets I sleep in.
Why?
Leaning forward, she rested her chin on both hands, and I couldn't help but notice the way the movement pressed her full breasts together under her top. My dick twitched, and I blinked, trying to force myself back to our conversation. Because that's not what matters. We have to focus on the important stuff, like people. You reminded me of that. Her lashes swept up as she blinked, almost in slow motion, as if I'd said something profound she had to give weight to and assimilate. Damn, my dick needed to behave itself. But that pink in her cheeks, the wisps of hair that had escaped her ponytail, I wanted more of that, Avery. I put my knife and fork together and leaned back. Talking with Avery was far more fulfilling than food. It's not like I'm slumming it. I glanced around, indicating the boat. She laughed.
I guess not.
She checked her watch.
It's coming up to 9. There are going to be fireworks on the shore. We should be able to see them, but the view will be best from the upper deck.
The way her eyes lit up, She didn't just want me to see the fireworks because I was a guest, but she was actually looking forward to them.
Are you finished?
She pushed her chair out and reached out to take my plate when I nodded. I didn't want her to wait on me. Not tonight. I wanted to encourage her to see me as a man, not a guest.
Let me. You were supposed to have the evening off.
She closed her eyes and shook her head.
Please don't. That would make me really uncomfortable.
That was the last thing I wanted to do. But I didn't want her to be invisible either.
I'll make you a deal, I said.
She rolled her eyes.
You're all about the deal.
It's who I am. I'll head to the upper deck now and leave you to this, if you join me with a bottle of champagne and two glasses.
We don't drink on charter,
she spluttered almost before I'd finished my sentence. So, for an hour, you won't be on charter. You were meant to have this evening off anyway. She shifted her weight onto one leg.
I don't know.
She scanned the horizon as if looking for something external that would resolve the conflict inside her. I knew she could feel this pull between us. I could tell now when she was being polite and when she was being real, and I knew she wanted to say yes, but her dedication and sense of duty held her back. Isn't it your job to fulfill a guest's request? I shouldn't abuse my power. And if I hadn't thought that Avery and her big brown eyes wanted to continue our conversation over a glass of champagne, I wouldn't have pushed it. But she did, from the way her body shuddered on the few occasions I'd touched her, to the way her cheeks pinked when I grinned at her. I could feel the attraction no matter how hard she tried to hide it.
Not every request, she replied.
You're right. Again, she'd pulled me up, and I just wanted her more because of it. I don't want you to join me because I'm a guest. I want you to watch the fireworks with me, because the Avery Walker that exists off this boat wants to.
Avery. It would be easier if I didn't want to join Hayden. If another guest had asked me to watch the fireworks with them, I probably wouldn't have resisted so hard. Tipsy guests would often encourage us to join them in their revelry, and we'd smile and join their conga line, sing karaoke, or line up their shots. But I fought against Hayden's invitation, albeit half-heartedly, because I knew I'd want more from our encounter than I was supposed to. There was no doubt that Hayden Wolf was attractive physically, but the more I got to know him, the more I liked and admired him. From the way he wasn't so prideful that it stopped him from taking advice about his deal, and he was prepared to admit it, to the way he used a family photograph as a bookmark. My draw toward him was unusual, dangerous, frightening. I released the cloth, dropping it over the ice, and scooped up the bucket, resting it on my hip. I picked up the two champagne glasses I'd set on the counter and headed to the upper deck. I'd resisted because the transparent but very clear divide between crew and guest, which was always in place, even when we were dancing and singing along with them, I felt crumbling when I was with Hayden. I'd want him to tell me things guests shouldn't tell crew, personal things about his family and life. I'd want him to look at me and think that I was beautiful. I'd wanted to forget I was crew and paid to serve him. And more than anything else, I didn't want to join Hayden and be disappointed that that barrier between us disintegrated for me, but stayed in place for him. But I'd lost this battle. I wanted to please him, was a little drunk on the attention of this rich, charming man who seemed to be so different to anyone else I'd met who was in his position. But even more, I wanted this for me. I'd never felt such a strong pull to someone, and I wasn't ready to let go. I never did the wrong thing. I was always caring about my family and my job. But right now, I just wanted a few more minutes of feeling as special as I did when Hayden looked at me, searching and fascinated. As I got up to the upper deck, Hayden was facing the ocean. His untucked white linen shirt rippled in the breeze, threatening to lift to reveal his hard tan body. He turned at the sound of me setting down the ice bucket and strode toward me.
It's almost 9, he said, pulling the bottle from the ice and removing the foil and the cork.
There was no point telling him I'd do it. Something had shifted.
He'd asked me to join him as the Avery Walker who wasn't a stewardess, and that's who I was in that moment. As we stood silently in the dark, the low orange light from the external lamps and the heat left over from the day making the outside feel like the inside, Hayden released the cork like a professional and poured two glasses. He handed me a flute and raised his own.
To you, Avery Walker.
He couldn't make a toast to me. It felt wrong. I wasn't the girl who was ever the reason for the toast. Let's hope the fireworks are good, I said, raising my glass. He shook his head, and I wasn't sure if it was because I'd ignored his toast or because of my expectations of entertainment from the shore. Outstretching his arm, he guided me to the port side, which was closest to the shore.
It's beautiful without the fireworks, he said,
and when I glanced at him, he was looking right at me. My heart thundered under his attention and at the possibilities of his intentions. And different from the south of France, right? It's only a few miles away, but you can tell it's another country. He nodded.
Do you get to go ashore a lot?
In Italy? Not much. You end up with time off where you're picking up your next charter, which is usually Saint-Tropez or Monaco, the French Riviera mainly. But I do volunteer for trips ashore during charters down the Italian coast, you know, if guests need anything. Do you like Italy? I was babbling, trying to hide my desire for him. My eyes flitted across to him. I wanted to see his reaction, to study him, to know what he was thinking.
Yeah, I've been to Milan for business countless times, and I've holidayed in villas in Tuscany.
Boom. The first of the fireworks exploded in the sky. An umbrella of bright pink followed by white raindrops, stark against the black backdrop. I turned to him. I loved it. He smiled back at me, and I had to look away. His stare was so intense. Boom, boom, boom. The sky exploded into a shower of orange and blue stars, as if we were in our own alternative snow globe.
I like this smile.
I turned back to him and realized his eyes had been on me the whole time. This smile?
The Avery Walker smile. It's different to the stewardess smile I normally get. They're both beautiful, but I prefer this one.
Boom, 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 boom. I wasn't sure if the noise pounding in my ears was the fireworks up above or every atom of my body thundering in unison. I glanced down at my glass, hiding my blush. Another burst of light pulled our attention back to the sky, and we watched for a few minutes in silence. Michael would love this, I said to myself, watching the colors surge and retreat. One of my first memories was 4th of July fireworks with Mom and Dad and Michael. I'd missed that annual family outing since I'd begun yachting, since Mom left.
Michael?
My younger brother.
You're close?
He asked. Though I shouldn't, I took my first sip of champagne. I had to be up early tomorrow, would probably have to pick up the slack from August and Skylar because of their hangovers. Yeah, kinda. I didn't see him that often, and although I spoke to my dad every day, Michael and I didn't shoot the breeze or say much at all to each other unless I was at home.
But you want him to see the fireworks?
I exhaled, my shoulders dropping. He had an accident. There were spinal injuries, head injuries. He doesn't walk anymore, but he loves sports on TV, and he would love this. I wished I could transport him here, show him how beautiful this place was, but he was unlikely to ever leave Sacramento, let alone the United States.
I'm sorry,
Hayden said, sweeping his knuckles over my cheek as though it was the most natural thing in the world. I shook my head and pulled my shoulders back. It was 7 years ago, and he has excellent medical care, and he and my dad eat too much pizza and watch far too much TV. I smiled at the thought of the two of them pretending to like my stir-fry or the vegetable casserole that I made whenever I was at home.
Is that why you wanted to work abroad, to escape what was happening back home?
It was such a personal question, prying and invasive, but I wanted to tell him. I leaned against the railings, holding the stem of my glass with both hands. Nope, I'd prefer to be with my family, but medical bills mount up, you know? He closed his eyes in a long blink, as if what I'd said pained him.
I get it,
he said, settling next to me like we had been when we were watching the sunrise.
I have a brother, younger. I'd move mountains for him if he wasn't more than capable of moving them for himself.
Tears misted my eyes. That's what family does, right? My mother hadn't felt the same.
Not always,
he said, as if he were reading my thoughts. He took a sip of his drink and turned so his body was facing me side on.
What would you do if the medical bills didn't exist?
I paused, watching the sky burst into greens and purples. I don't think about that. There's no point. At least I tried not to think about it. It wasn't as if I had options or choices. Michael really wants to walk again. That's what we're all focused on. Another boom echoed across the sky, bringing with it another glitter of color.
There's always a point in having hopes and dreams, ambitions, isn't there?
I kept focused on the sky. I really want Michael to walk again. If I could have that, if my yachting career did nothing else but make that happen, every dream of mine would have come true.
My brother was in the Special Forces.
Hidden said a few minutes later, and I faced him, wanting to hear every word he was saying. I'd assumed his brother would be a lawyer or a doctor. The military seemed so removed from Hayden and what he did, but it explained the crew cut in the photograph I'd seen.
SAS. I hated it when he joined up, partly because I knew I'd miss him, and partly because I wasn't going to be able to look after him where he was going.
I tried hard not to, but I reached across and curled my fingers around his wrist, wanting to provide some comfort. Hayden Wolfe wasn't a man anyone would assume would worry over his younger brother, but maybe we weren't so different. Maybe that's part of the reason why he did, so you didn't have to, I replied. He let out a breath, and I released his arm.
I'd never thought of it like that, but you might be right. He came back different, which of course he was bound to because war changes you, but also he just didn't need me as much. Maybe that was his plan.
Hayden sounded like he wanted to be needed by his brother. Would I miss it if I didn't have Michael relying on me? The fireworks continued, and we watched, commenting every now and then on how beautiful they were, our confessions to each other settling like foundations of a building.
I was angry with you for not leaving the boat this evening,
Hayden said out of nowhere.
You deserved a break. When I gave the crew the night off, I meant for you to go with them.
It's my job to be here. You're meant to be on vacation. If anyone deserves a break, it's you. You've not stopped since you came aboard. I wasn't sure he was going to make it a full 8 weeks. He was barely sleeping and working through the night every night.
But that's my choice. I'm trying to save my business.
And yachting is my business. You take your career seriously, and so do I. I'm not leaving my guest without a stewardess on board. What if you needed something?
Is that the only reason you stayed?
He asked. I'd never been a good liar, but with Hayden, I found myself revealing parts of me I'd kept completely secret. I don't know, I replied. It was only half the reason. I could hardly confess the rest. He paused.
You're beautiful,
he said, and my heart thundered in my chest. Because I care about my job? I teased, trying to lighten the moment.
Exactly.
He narrowed his eyes, and the air all around me pressed against my skin, making me aware of every part exposed to the warm breeze. He turned his entire body toward me.
I want to kiss you.
My heartbeat got louder, mixing with the booms of the fireworks. I could make a joke and move away. It was what I would do if any other guest made a pass at me. I could excuse myself. I could run. But I didn't. I didn't want to avoid anything. So I stayed, looking at him, my gaze flickering to the faded sky. I can't kiss a guest, I whispered. I'd never wanted to before, never even been tempted. I'd assumed that would always be the case, that I'd always care about my job above any fleeting moment of whatever this was. But right then, it felt like a choice between my job and my soul, like I fundamentally needed this deep down inside, needed him. Maybe it was what my dad had said about having something for myself. Maybe it was just that I'd gone so long without a man touching me, but I didn't think so. It was Hayden Wolf, and the way he kept constantly blowing my expectations of him out of the water, his lack of entourage, his moments of humor, and his dedication to his business, despite the fact that he probably didn't have to work again given his obvious wealth. It was the way he'd given the crew the night off when there was no reason to. He was a good man. A man so beautiful, I caught my breath every time I saw him. And a man I wanted to kiss.
But you want me to kiss you,
he said, plucking my glass from my tightened fingers and placing it on the table behind him alongside his. I couldn't argue. I wasn't a liar.
The blush across your cheek.
He stood right in front of me, so close I could feel the heat rolling off his body. He reached behind me and pulled my hair free from the tie, slowly, deliberately, as if he was savoring some kind of transformation.
The way your nipples tighten when I'm close, the way your pussy is aching right now, it all tells me how much you want me to kiss you.
I pulled my bottom lip into my mouth and glanced at my feet. I couldn't move, couldn't contradict the dirty things he was saying. I wasn't sure if it was because he was right, or because his words were just so damn filthy, but I couldn't remember ever being so turned on by a man who'd barely touched me. His thumb swept across my bottom lip, coaxing it free of my teeth, then tilted my head up to face him. He stared into my eyes intently, as if he were communicating, telling me he'd stop if that was what I wanted. But I didn't. I wanted to forget he was a guest and I was a stewardess. I wanted to forget I was putting my job on the line at that precise moment. I wanted him to kiss me. He stepped forward, his thighs scraping against my hips as he cupped my face in his hands, sweeping his thumbs across my cheekbones. I sank against his body, needing more of him, desperate for his lips on mine. He sighed and closed his eyelids lazily before pressing his lips to mine. My skin began to buzz. I wasn't sure if it were in warning or pleasure, but either way, I didn't care. I was right where I wanted to be, selfishly enjoying the man in front of me. He snaked his arm around me, pressing his huge palm into the small of my back, pulling me against him. I opened my mouth with a groan, and he slipped his tongue into my mouth. He tasted masculine, like heat and earth, as if he was the center of everything. And at that moment he was. He was solid. I could trust him. He'd look after me and protect me, and a long-buried part of myself burst into relief. My knees buckled, but he kept me upright. His arms felt as if they were exactly where they were meant to be, around me. I'd kissed men before, of course I had, but I wasn't sure I'd ever been kissed. Not like this, not with Hayden's possessive, perfect way. I slid my hands up his chest, heat against heat. His heartbeat hammering against my palm. He pulled back for a second, narrowed his eyes, and dived to my neck, pressing kisses into the dip between my collarbone, then trailing up, nipping and sucking before pulling away again, looking at me as if I was some kind of prize he'd never thought he would win and didn't think he deserved, then hungrily found my lips again. He was right. My pussy was tight and hot. I arched my body against him, trying to give it some peace. He moaned into my mouth, grabbing my ass, sliding his hand down the back of my thigh, and raising my leg as he pressed his erection against my belly. The heat between us winched up, higher and higher, with no telling when or if it would stop or explode. My sounds were getting louder, and I knew I needed things to stop before I became incapable. I couldn't lose control. I was so close to not caring about anything but this moment, about anyone except Hayden and me. The breeze carried laughter from a nearby yacht, echoing into the quiet night now the fireworks had stopped. If we could hear them, could they hear us? See us? I pushed my hand against his chest, and he pulled back, looking me right in the eye. I shook my head. We have to stop this. I wanted him to keep kissing me. I wanted to feel the heat coursing through my body for just a few more minutes, but I had to end this now.
But you don't want me to stop,
he murmured, scraping his scruff-covered cheek against mine. You're right, I don't, I whispered,
need spreading across my skin, but I managed to resist him and stepped back out of his arms. But I need to go. I should never have come up here. I knew it would lead to trouble, however sweet it might feel in the short term. It was too risky. There was too much at stake. My brother's care and my career were never going to take second place to any man. But the choice had never felt so difficult, had never stung quite so painfully as it did when I turned away from Hayden Wolfe. Chapter 17. Avery. Everything was on its ass. Last night, I'd kissed Hayden Wolfe, which I absolutely should not have done. And this morning, when I'd gone ashore after breakfast, I couldn't get hold of my dad. I was 5 seconds away from freaking out. So far this charter, I'd managed to get ashore at least every other day to call my dad. Today was important. Michael got a physical therapy report every month from his therapist, and it was due yesterday. The report set out Michael's progress and was required by the insurer, but it also lifted all our spirits. Despite Michael's accident being so long ago, the fact that he was still making progress gave us all the drive to move forward, and especially Michael. It kept his goal of walking again at the forefront of his mind. Michael had just started his additional therapy, which my 40% pay raise was paying for, and even though it was unrealistic, I was hoping it would have already made a difference and the report would reflect that.
Avery, Avery, this is Neil. Mr. Wolfe is looking for you.
My radio rang out from my waist, and I sighed. Hayden still insisted on dealing with just me. August and Skylar weren't complaining, and usually neither was I. But right then, I wanted to focus on finding an excuse to go back on shore so I could call home again. I hooked my hair into a ponytail and straightened my skirt, checking my reflection in the floor-length mirror on the back of the door. "This is Avery. I'll be right there," I said into my radio, and I headed to the galley. Last night, I'd forced myself back to my room. This morning, I could still feel the press of Hayden's thumbs over my hips, still feel his teeth against my neck, and I wondered how long the memories might last, how long I could keep remembering our kiss. I wanted to etch it into my brain as the most perfect one I'd ever had. I tried to avoid his eyes as I served him breakfast this morning, and he had seemed amused at my embarrassment, but he wasn't the one who'd risked everything for a kiss, and although I was sure my guilt was scorched into my forehead, no one had said anything. And why would they? The only one who'd been on board last night was Captain Moss, and if he'd seen anything, I'd have a plane ticket in my hand and my suitcase packed already. No one else knew. "Where is he?" I asked Neil as I got to the kitchen.
"Pacing in the dining room."
He lifted his chin to the galley entrance.
"This isn't fair to you. August and Skylar are perfectly capable of being at his beck and call. It puts too much pressure on you."
Why was Neil acting as if Hayden was being unreasonable? We'd had guests who were much more demanding. "I don't mind," I said, heading out.
"Just be careful. I've seen the way he looks at you."
I paused in the doorway, my heartbeat shifting up a level, and turned around. "What?" Neil shrugged.
"He's clearly got a thing for you."
I frowned and hoped it covered my blush. "He does not. He's just intense about his privacy." Neil stopped slicing whatever it was on his chopping board and fixed me with his stare.
"Look at you,"
he said, glancing at me from head to toe in the way only a gay man could get away with without being a sleazeball.
"Of course he's got a thing for you."
I opened my mouth to speak, not quite knowing what to say, but before I could respond, he continued.
"Look, you know I think you're an amazing stewardess and a kick-ass tequila drinker. You also know I can pick up on chemistry 1,000 miles off. It's my superpower."
Had I been flirting without knowing it? Had Neil picked up on the fact that me staying on board last night had something to do with Hayden? "I don't know what you mean. Hayden has only wanted to deal with me since he came on board."
"I also know you're a terrible liar, so I'd prefer you didn't say anything."
My stomach crashed to my knees. If Neil had picked up on something between us, then who else had?
"Don't let him take advantage."
"As if," I replied, trying to shrug off his comments as alarm bells began to ring in my ears.
"Hayden's good-looking and charming. I get it,"
he continued.
"But ask yourself if he's worth losing your career for. worth you not being able to help your family. You have a lot at stake, Avery, and I really want you to be happy. Just be careful.
I have to go. I waved my hand in the air and spun to exit the galley before the weight pressing on my chest stopped me from breathing. I didn't want to have this discussion with Neil. Hayden might be a paying guest, but he hadn't pressured me to do anything I didn't want to. He could read me. He'd known I wanted him. Shit. As if I didn't have enough to worry about not being able to speak to my dad, now Neil was talking about my chemistry with Hayden. If Neil could sense something, then I needed to be more careful with how I interacted with Hayden before anyone else came to the same conclusion, and I definitely shouldn't be kissing him or watching sunsets with him. Hayden, I said when I almost bumped into him as I reached the dining room.
I need you to collect something for me, he said.
His words were clipped and his jaw tight. What had happened since breakfast? I exhaled and nodded. Okay, that's not a problem. I could call my dad again on shore. We were moored off Marina di Andorra, a small port in northern Italy. From what I'd heard from the crew, there wasn't much going on ashore, but at least there was a payphone. Where do you need me to go? He went to speak, and then paused as he scanned my face. I looked away, unnerved by his ability to read me. I didn't want him to see how much last night had affected me, how much I wanted him to slide his arms around me and pull me against him. He blinked, and then cleared his throat.
There's a yacht supply shop on Via St. Michael. If you could pick up something from there, my person will find you.
I was used to doing all sorts of things for clients, and fetching and carrying wasn't unusual, except I was more accustomed to finding the nearest Gucci dealer and bringing back half a dozen bathing suits for clients, or a specialty liquor store for some exclusive alcohol. Brown envelopes or boxes of documents weren't the normal pickup. Okay.
It's just the latest versions of the legal documents. This draft will be crucial. I'll be able to tell a lot about how easy it will be to conclude this deal.
I took a step back from him. No problem. He reached out and pressed his hand against my forearm.
Thank you.
I froze, trying not to react to his touch, trying to block out the way his fingers felt on my skin. He released me.
Can you go straight away?
Sure. Neil said he wanted me to be happy. But the only time I'd been truly butterflies in the stomach, grin I couldn't control happy on this charter was when I'd been with Hayden. Distance, even for a little while, was what I needed. Distance from the bad decisions I'd made last night. Distance from those damn butterflies and the pool in my chest every time I set eyes on Hayden Wolf. I dialed again and then checked my watch. Where were they? Despite the expense, I tried my dad's cell and Michael's, but still nothing. I glanced back toward the tender, knowing I should get back. Hayden was desperate for whatever was in the envelope I'd collected from the woman in the yacht supplies shop. It had been the same girl who had given me the envelope in Saint-Tropez. She must be following him down the coast. I just wasn't going to go back to the yacht without having spoken to my dad. It could be another 2 days before I got to speak to him again. Our house voicemail clicked on, and I hung up. I'd already left 3 messages. I dove into my tote and pulled out my address book. Luckily for me, I still used the small pink address book I'd been given on my 8th birthday for all my important phone numbers and hadn't had to rely on the numbers in my cell that I didn't have. I'd call my aunt. She lived 3 blocks away, and I could get her to go around to check on my dad and Michael. With the receiver tucked under my chin, I held my address book open with one hand while I punched in the numbers. It felt like an hour and a half passed before the line finally connected. It rang and rang. Nothing. It was Sunday. They should be reading the paper, and Michael should be on his Xbox. There was no reason for people not to be answering the phone. Concern morphed into panic. What if something was wrong? What if Michael had collapsed or been told he'd never walk again and everyone was too upset to pick up? Still, the phone just rang and rang. I flipped over the page in my address book and found my aunt's cell number. I hung up and dialed again. She always had her phone on her. My heart boomed in my chest. I was getting stressed out for nothing, I told myself as I waited for an answer. Maybe they'd gone grocery shopping or to get gas. My knees almost collapsed when my aunt answered. Hello? I said. Avery? She answered. Can you hear me? I yelled into the phone. Please don't let the line fail. Yes, Avery. Don't panic. Are you okay? My aunt was a lot like my father, calm through the stormiest seas, but I knew her well enough to know that if she was telling me not to panic, then I had good reason to do the opposite. I'm fine. Why aren't I panicking? I held my breath, not wanting to make a sound so she wouldn't have to repeat herself. We're at the hospital. It's your dad. I stumbled backward, almost dropping the receiver. What happened?
Hayden. What was taking her so long? I stuffed my hands into my pockets as I paced the main deck. Skylar! I called just as she was heading back through the sliding doors, after silently collecting my empty glass from beside my lounger. She turned, a huge smile on her face.
Can I get you another? Or a snack, maybe?
She was probably shocked I'd even spoken to her. Avery had done her best to be the only member of her team I had anything to do with, which was exactly what I'd wanted. Maybe I'd asked too much of her. Do you have a pair of binoculars? I wanted to see if they were on their way back. Perhaps the tender had engine trouble, and Eric was trying to fix it.
Certainly. I'll just get them for you.
I scanned the shoreline, trying to see where the tender had docked, but it was just too far away. I wanted my documents, and the fact I couldn't just open my email and have them appear was driving me nuts. This was my future that was taking so long to arrive.
Here you are,
Skylar said as she returned and placed two pairs of binoculars on the side table, one larger than the other.
They focus automatically, but let me know if you need any help.
Thank you. And actually, you could get me a glass of water, please. Her grin grew wide as if I'd just promoted her. Maybe I had. Avery was working around the clock. Perhaps it was time I let Skylar take some of the burden. Avery waiting on me didn't seem right after last night. I took out the binoculars, focused on the marina, and caught sight of the tender with Eric at the helm. I jerked the binoculars up, and Avery Walker filled the frame. She was wearing her yacht uniform. Her bronze legs shone off by her mid-thigh khaki skirt, her hair in a ponytail, and large sunglasses that made her look like a movie star. Eric reached out to help Avery onto the boat. As they touched, a shot of jealousy seared through me. Did he have a crush on her? Of course he had a crush on her. The woman was a goddess, elegant, poised, wise, and kind, not to mention the most beautiful woman I'd ever laid eyes on. Had they kissed? Had he held her like I had last night? She disappeared after our kiss like Cinderella fleeing before the clock struck midnight. I was so used to being in control with the women I was with, I couldn't recall a time when I'd felt abandoned. Maybe it was because Avery and I hadn't fucked, because neither of us had gotten release. But I knew it was more than that. I got the distinct impression I'd never be able to get enough of Avery Walker. She was equal parts tough and vulnerable, loyal and trusting, hard-working and driven. I couldn't remember admiring someone as much as I did her. Avery sat at the front of the tender, facing me and away from Eric. Ridiculously, her sense of satisfaction circled in my gut. Was she looking for me like I was looking for her? She pushed her sunglasses to the top of her head and covered her face with her hands. Was she shielding herself from the wind? No, it was as if she were crying. Surely not. I lowered the binoculars, trying to think of reasons she might be upset. Had someone seen us on the yacht and disciplined her? She'd said that guests were strictly off limits for crew. Had something happened while she'd been ashore? Had she been mugged? No, I'd seen her bring her tote back on the boat. I picked up the binoculars. She wiped under her eyes with the back of her hands, then slipped her glasses back on. She took a deep breath, smiled, and then turned back to face Eric. She thought she was having a private moment, and I'd intruded on that when I had no right to. I'd been spying on her, invading her privacy. But now I had to know what was wrong. I was constantly asking too much of Avery. Had she felt pressured last night into kissing me? Was she upset because of what she'd done, or was it something else entirely? I set the binoculars down.
"Shall I just set this on the table for you?"
Skylar asked, as she appeared with my glass of tap water on a tray. "No, I'll take it," I said, reaching for the glass. "I'm going down to my office. Can you ask Avery to come and find me as soon as she gets back? It's urgent." She smiled and almost did a little curtsy. I would have chuckled if I hadn't been so concerned about why Avery was upset.
"Certainly. No problem," she replied.
I headed back downstairs to my office to wait for Avery. She'd be back in less than 5 minutes, but it wasn't quick enough. I heard the deck crew tying up the tender, and I had to stop myself from bellowing upstairs for her to get a move on. Christ, I was an impatient, unreasonable bastard. When I finally heard her footsteps on the stairs, I took a seat and watched the door, willing it to open. Avery knocked, then entered when I called for her. I had to clear my throat. I hadn't imagined it. Her eyes were puffy and red. She'd definitely been crying. I shot to my feet. "Avery!" I didn't know what to say. Didn't know how to navigate this situation. This was a woman I wanted to strip naked and kiss head to toe, then fuck through to next week. But she was also a woman I didn't want to see cry. I wanted to make it better for her, whatever was wrong. Before I had the chance to question my own instincts, I'd moved around my desk and pressed the door closed with my palm, locking it with my other hand. "Sit."
"Please, I need to go."
Her voice quivered as she set the thick envelope of papers on my desk.
"I have a lot to do."
"Sit," I repeated, and she relented, sinking into the chair, her limbs heavy and her eyes sad. I leaned against the desk, our legs almost touching. "What is it?"
"I have to organize lunch," she said. "Then..."
"Please don't make me repeat myself. Why are you upset?" She took in a deep, jagged breath and shook her head.
"It's nothing."
I didn't reply, but I wasn't going to be fobbed off. She was going to tell me what was wrong, and then I was going to fix it. She wrung her hands and avoided my gaze, but I stayed silent, despite the way my muscles twitched, desperate for action. I wanted her to talk to me. Eventually, she spoke.
"My father was taken to the emergency room last night."
Shit. I clenched my hands, wanting to reach out and touch her. But after last night, I didn't know where we stood, what I should do. I just knew I wanted to do something, anything, to soothe her pain.
"He's okay. They thought it might be a heart attack, but apparently it wasn't. They're doing tests."
She glanced up at me, her face filled with sadness, and I hated myself for not being able to fix it immediately. I wanted to pull her into my arms and tell her everything was going to be okay, but I couldn't make this better for her. Wealth and power meant nothing in a situation like this. "Jesus, I'm sorry. Do you need to leave?" She exhaled.
"God, my father would never forgive me. He's a proud man. Would hate for me to make a fuss."
She shook her head.
"He only accepts the money I send for Michael's sake. No doubt he's making the nurses' lives hell at this precise moment."
It wasn't enough information. How bad were her brother's injuries now? Did her dad have a heart condition already?
"My aunt is staying with my brother."
Where was her mum? I didn't ask in case she got more upset. Thinking back, Avery hadn't mentioned her at all. She pressed her palm against her forehead, as if trying to cool herself, and I found myself wanting to be that momentary relief for her.
"I should have seen this coming. He's getting older, and it's too much for him to be working and looking after my brother. But trying to get either of them to accept a caregiver when my dad's at home is impossible.
My dad says he doesn't like strangers in his house when he's there.
I reached for her, my need to provide her with comfort overwhelming. But she recoiled and stood, shaking her head.